Multiple times a day, on a whim or by demand, I sing my son the song, The Wheels on the Bus. He's just turned 2 and loves repetition. He watches my lips as I describe the movements of the wheels, the wipers, and the bus driver as the driver says, "Move on back." All over an idealized town, this bus drives across a dozen times a day. At any time of the day, I can receive, via a social media group chat, stories from a good friend, a public bus driver in San Diego, California, Albert. Albert was precocious. His taste in punk, at the age of 16, was more studied than ours. He smoked cigarettes like a veteran, while my head spun. When you're in your teens, you make friends that last a lifetime, and within those groups, there usually is one legend. Albert is that legend. The most sincere, he's never not been himself. After high school, Albert got a degree in history, later lived in a Civil War era cottage in rural Missouri by himself, then moved to Southern California. Slow moving, Albert has learned to accept the world, which makes him an ideal bus driver. He drives through a country in decline, turns in his daily logs, then sends a message to a group chat, to our group of friends, 5 guys from Midwestern America. Here are the stories. They are diametrically opposed to the songs I sing to my son, and it makes me think about how great we were told things were as a child, and then how we spend the rest of our adult lives driving through the absurdity, never to reconcile the two, other than in hope, fantasy, or delusion. Like Joan Didion once wrote, we all tell ourselves stories in order to live. And this is Albert's story.
Yeah. Every night when I come in from driving the bus, I turn to my DVR sheet. The little Mexican dispatcher girl always asks me if I have a PB&J in my cooler. I usually do. Sometimes it's my dinner. I give it to her anyways. I'm glad to make an extra one for her today. She was the first thing I thought of when I woke up today. So there's this super short Asian girl that rides one of the routes I drive sometimes. I think she's Filipino. Anyways, she works at a bakery, and last week she gave me some kind of roll that had potatoes and meat curry, maybe beef or goat. It was good. Last night she rode, and I thanked her for the roll last week. Without even asking, she hands me a bag and says, "Tonight I only have coffee and bread," and I took it because I didn't want to hurt her feelings. I opened the bag on my break, and sure enough, there was an iced coffee with the top covered in plastic, 2 raisin cream cheese rolls, and a big giant roll that tasted like it had sweet potato in the middle. Anyways, the more I thought about it, I think that it was her breakfast for the morning, and she gave it to me. I saw her again today, but she ran off to catch another bus before I got a chance to talk to her. What a sweetheart, though. She is tiny, like maybe under 5 foot. So we have these new Prius we drive around to meet up with the buses and all sorts of other shit. They have Sirius XM. There is a station called Ozzy's Boneyard, and they play Metallica and Motorhead and all kinds of other old metal stuff. Anyways, I got called into the office by the head safety dude Lamar, and he's like, "We need to take a look at something." So he pulls up a video from last week, and it's me in the Prius, rocking the fuck out, and he's like, "You were going 95 miles an hour. That's 35 miles over the speed limit. It's a felony in California." So he made me sign this thing that he talked to me. The funniest part of it is, though, that there's this camera right on us, so the video was like my fat ass screaming some Metallica, looking like a crazed fucking lunatic. Homeless dude tried to steal a bus yesterday. A driver left it running and ran to the bathroom. Dude jumped in the seat, and another driver, Anthony, ran over and was smart enough to pull the battery switch. Then he went in, and the bum was like, "She's trying to steal the bus." A passenger was trapped in the back the whole time. The passenger ran up to Anthony and handed him a bottle of mace and was like, "Mace him," which he didn't do. Cops came. I didn't see the incident. This is all secondhand. I saw the driver a little later. She drove the bus I was supposed to get from her the wrong direction into the transit center. I pulled up to a stop tonight, and there was this really hot Chaldean woman and a weird-ass homeless dude with no shoes waiting. The guy charges on the bus, doesn't pay, and is not wearing a mask. Then she gets on and scans her card. She's carrying a bunch of groceries. Anyways, she doesn't sit down for some reason. We take off, and a few minutes later, I look in the mirror and the guy is standing right behind her. So I'm like, "Hey, move away from her. Go to the other side of the bus." So he does, but he's still acting fucking weird. She pulls the string for the next stop, which is poorly lit. I open both doors and the guy gets off the back door, and she comes up to the front and says she doesn't want to get off. And I'm like, don't. Anyways, she rode back to the station with me. I told my supervisor. They didn't give a shit. And she took a cab home. Ate miniature candy bars with a bum today. He told me about being a pipe fitter on an aircraft carrier back in the day. It was like 10:30 at night. He smelled like urine really bad. Gave this gnarly looking junkie a free ride today. He was around our age, maybe a little younger. Anyways, he asked me if MTS was hiring, and I told him they needed people to work on the rails for the trolley. I asked him if he had any experience in construction. He said no, but he said he shaped surfboards for a long time. We bullshitted for a while, and it turns out he was a pro surfer for a few years. It's hard to believe how bad heroin fucks up people. An Asian lady kept asking me where seafood teepee is today. I said I had no idea. Then I realized she was saying Seafood City. I still don't know where that is either. Today another driver said some dude pissed in his bus last night. Strange thing is that he came and told me before he got off. He said the guy was like, I just wanted to let you know, I didn't get any on the seats. I had a guy get on last night with one giant shitlock. Today this crazy fuck kept running to the front of the bus asking me to call 911. He said his tongue was uncontrollable or some bullshit. There's a crew of beaners and retards to clean the buses. I'm not kidding either. That piss is probably still there. I helped the hottest Latina cougar today. When she got off the bus, she was like, I love you, I love you. If I see her again, I'm going to get her number. Maybe I'll get molested. Yesterday, this guy comes up to the bus holding a glass bong. He's like, I don't have any money. Can I get a ride? So I tell him to put on a mask and put his bong away. 10 minutes later, I hear something fall. Of course, it's his bong. I can smell bong water all the way to the front of the bus. He gets off and ditches the bong on the sidewalk. I have to call it in because the passengers are complaining about the smell. A supervisor met me on the route and cleaned it up. There was glass everywhere. Who the fuck walks around town with a bong? This really short Mexican gangster guy got on the bus today. He had a bike with a sagging chain, shaved head, hang tattoos, and so on. Anyways, he looked like he was either on opioids or kind of drunk. He was kind of staggering around, taking his shirt off, puffing himself up, acting aggressive towards no one in particular. So I get to a stop where I have a 20-minute break. Some weird-looking Mexican dude carrying some jeans and other random bullshit gets on, along with some white chick. The gangster Mexican dude hands the new Mexican dude like $5, I guess for bus fare, I'm not sure. I let them hang out of the bus while I puff my vape outside. I thought maybe it was a bad idea, but fuck it. Anyways, at first it sounded like they were getting along, and then the new Mexican guy gave the jeans to the old Mexican guy who was taking his shirt off again. They were talking shit about me in Spanish, and then the old Mexican guy starts puffing himself up again, yelling at the new Mexican dude. The new Mexican dude comes running off the bus and starts screaming, call the police, call the police. I wish there was a great ending to this story, like he tried to steal the bus and pulled some e-Honda shit, but the old Mexican dude just got off at the first McDonald's. Yesterday, this crazy homeless lady was walking back and forth on the bus, saying crazy shit. She was talking about a sideways penis and other crazy ass shit. She would kind of stand too close to people for a moment and then go back to walking around. I kept saying, please take a seat, ma'am. Make sure we respect other passengers' personal space, etc. Finally, these two black chicks were over it and started telling her to sit down or they were going to throw her off the bus, kick her ass, and so on. The crazy lady hadn't touched or threatened anybody, so I really wanted to make it to the transit center. If I have to call a supervisor and pull over and wait for them, it could put us behind by 45 minutes or more. People miss trolleys, are late for work, etc. Of course, the black chicks escalated the situation. I called and asked for a supervisor to come to my bus when I got to the transit center. By the time I got to the transit center, one of the black chicks had chased the crazy lady up to the front door, and the crazy lady was up front by me. I pulled up, and a security guard was waiting. I opened the door, and the crazy lady ran off the bus. Then the security guard started screaming at her and ran her out of the transit center. I could hear her yelling at the lady for the next 20 minutes, trying to keep her out of the transit center. About 3 to 4 hours later, the crazy lady got into a brand new white Ford pickup that was parked across the street. I guess she was going to turn a trick. Cigarettes smell like ass. Some guy was suffocating me at the transit center today. It's interesting the random shit homeless people carry around. Today, a guy stood on the other side of the window while I ate my lunch in the little store. He was holding a Häagen-Dazs carton, talking to himself. I saw all kinds of crazy ass shit this week, but the only thing that really sticks out wasn't very strange at all. Last night I was talking to this old black dude with a really bad limp. He was riding around on a little box bike. He convinced me I should take a leak in the parking lot rather than walk all the way to Albert's in the grocery store. He had a flashlight that kind of looked like a scan gun they use in stores. He was standing behind a bush, shining it at these guys unloading a truck at Albertson's. He told me the cops told him he would get in trouble if he kept shining the flashlight in the air, at people, or whatever. A passenger jet flew over and he started shooting at it with his flashlight. Then he said, he can't even see that. Then we left. I was walking to use the bathroom and someone behind me said, this is crazy, all the chicken around the world. I got on the elevator, and so did the voice behind me. It was a black lady with a bucket of KFC in a clear bag. She said it again, all the chicken around the world, while shaking her head. I don't know what it would be like to have a normal job after doing this. In a weird way, the chaos and dysfunction is kind of reassuring or something. Like, this is a reality for a good chunk of America. Maybe I get off on negativity and destruction. I don't know. I'd rather see things for what they really are than be in a bubble. California is a very strange place because less than 5 miles from where that stabbing happened, white sorority girls are parading around SDSU wearing cowboy hats and bikinis. I'm just drawn to dark shit for some reason. I find it more interesting than all the happy stuff. Yeah, this sounds cliche, but the darkness does kind of make the light shine brighter. Last night, after I kicked off the pervert, on my way back I picked up an ancient, homeless white guy with a big white beard and a walker. He was moving super slow, and it probably took him about 4 minutes to get on the bus and put his money in the machine. A black kid got on, too. I was driving down the road, and I heard the kid say, you know your shoes are untied? I looked in the mirror, and the kid was tying this old white bum's shoes. Of course, I thought of Jesus and the washing of feet, etc. I told the kid I was happy people like him existed. He said, I'm happy I exist, too, I guess. I kept it real on the bus the other night. Some 20-something kid called me a fat fuck, so I threw him up against the handicap seats and hit him a few times. Now I am on unpaid suspension, which will probably end in termination. Also, I have to appear in court January 11th for battery 242 charge. I keeps it real, son. Today there was this really mangled-looking homeless dude who kind of looked like that kid from Deliverance, all grown up. He was pushing a really dirty half-grown pup in a wheelchair. He blocked the whole entrance with the wheelchair and himself, while he tried to get the machine to take his wrinkled old dollar. There was a nicely dressed younger Hispanic lady waiting to get on the bus. Finally, I just told him to sit down without paying. Kind of feel like the nice Mexican people who ride the bus to work must think Americans are completely out of their minds. Most of the time, they're the only sane individuals on the bus. Alright, here's a story for you. So the court gave me 24 hours of community service, and they're going to throw out the battery charges. So they assigned me to this dude, Darnell Williams, who runs a 501(c) or whatever. He didn't need any help the last couple of weeks, so he had me go to work for this other woman who has an organization downtown. I served all my hours with her, but I had already signed up to work with Darnell February 4th. I figured I should probably volunteer for him, although I had finished. He's the one that gives me the hour sheet to turn into the court. So he tells me to show up at the DoubleTree Hotel, kind of downtown at 5, wearing a black shirt, pants, and shoes. He said I could do lighting for some event. I figured it was going to be rich donors for his organization or something. Alright, so I show up at the hotel a little before 5. I text him, no response. Finally, I call him. He says he will come out to the lobby and get me. I'm waiting around in the lobby and there are hundreds of cross-dressers and men wearing crowns walking around the hotel. The trannies are wearing very elegant dresses and lavish makeup. Some of the men with crowns are wearing black and white kilts. A lot of them have a Monopoly Man mustache and beards. Some kings have robes on. All very bizarre. So I waited in the lobby for like 20 minutes and finally called Darnell again. He was like, so sorry, I'll come out and get you. A little while later I see a black dude wearing a crown and a king's robe down the hall motioning for me to come to him. This is the first time I had ever met Darnell in person. He shakes my hand. He's very nice. Queer as a $3 bill. Darnell escorts me through the crowd and into this hotel convention room. It's full of people dressed in drag, and there's a large stage with two thrones and a bunch of props. There are 6 feet tall black drag queens running around. I am in the heart of the function. Anyways, Darnell finds the big fat drag queen who basically looks like me wearing a ball gown and a push-up bra. He seems very stressed out. Darnell asks if he wants me to run the lights. The guy says nobody needs to run the lights this time. Long story short, they decided to have me watch over the gift room. Now, I still haven't really got an explanation about where I am and what's going on. Anyways, this other gay black guy takes me to the gift room, tells me nobody except board members should be back here unless they're bringing gifts, watch after shit, etc. A little while later, around 10 gay guys come into the room, and the Hispanic drag queen that had been running around frantically for like 15 minutes starts unloading flagpoles from a gym bag. I'm standing next to this massively fat guy wearing a kilt and a leather biker cap. I help them set up the flags. The drag queen is telling the gay guys in what order they should go out and who should go in through what door, etc. I'm holding the American flagpole, and one of the guys tells me just to hang out there because he doesn't think he has counted the number of people he needs right or she needs right. So I'm thinking I'm going to carry the American flag up on stage and display it for the anthem in front of an auditorium full of transvestites. Only in California. She had counted right, and they didn't need me. So for the next 45 minutes, I'm just kind of hanging out in the gift room. I'm sort of in awe of the number of drag queens there and how elaborate their costumes are. Honestly, it was impressive. A man with Pamela Anderson-sized implants and a very low-cut dress. Black drag queens with beards. You can't even imagine. Anyways, there are these two really nice booklets sitting on the table. The covers say 53 years, and the book is mostly pictures of queens and dudes in crowns. On the table, there are two professionally made signs, and one says Emperor and the other Empress. I'm starting to figure shit out. I can hear people singing in the microphones in the main room. Eventually, this old guy with a shaved head and an N95 mask comes into the room and sits down across from me at the table. He just starts hacking for like 10 minutes straight. I'm thinking, this guy is gonna die. Finally, he stops coughing and starts talking to me. We bullshit for the next hour or more. He says he has lung cancer and there's fluid built up around his lungs. He's actually really positive and explains his husband is running for Empress and that's why he's there. His husband comes in periodically. He is massive and in full drag. The guy explains that his husband is Hawaiian. Also, he fills me in on what's going on. Every year, the court elects an emperor and empress. They have done this for over 50 years. This organization, I think they're called the court actually, is big time. They raise all kinds of money for charity stuff. They have chapters all over the country, and this is one of their biggest events. So here's where everything gets even weirder than it already was. The guy with cancer has a younger guy that seems to be sort of his helper boy that comes back and forth. I notice this helper guy is wearing a rubber dog tail. The cancer guy explains that the kid lives with him and his massive Samoan husband. The kid, he's actually 39 from what I understand, finally comes back to the room and puts on a dog mask. He grabs a flagpole and takes off to the auditorium, riding it like a witch on a broomstick. The cancer man says he's part of his husband's presentation on stage. About 15 minutes later, the husband and the helper kid come back. I look at the kid and he looks really familiar. I keep catching him looking at me. It's very uncomfortable, sort of glancing deal, and we are both trying to figure out where we know each other from. He finally comes over and shakes my hand and introduces himself. I don't say anything, but I am now about 95% sure it's the guy I got into a fight with on the bus. If it wasn't, then maybe I've lost my mind. I keep catching him looking at me still. I fight the urge just to come out and ask him if he got in a fight with a bus driver a couple months ago. I don't ask. I decided to get out of there. I say goodbye to the cancer man, find Darnell, say goodbye, and then hit the road.
Mirage is looking to publish travel writing. What kind of travel writing? We want to hear what's not written in Condé Nast Traveler and what's not told in Lonely Planet. For example, if you're going to describe the food, why not try the drugs? In describing the sunset, why not mention the midlife crisis? Why not dress above your class, then betray the confidence of the rich with your writing? Or sleep rough and revisit Orwell's Down and Out? If you say that port cities are hospitable, then stay years, learn the language, and report back when it's altered your identity. Be the woman in the story who married a Bedouin and lived in a cave. Give us something deeper than the frivolity of writing done by tourists. You can tell that one story you've only told yourself, that narrative you're afraid to admit. It can be dirty or wrong or told from a perspective of an individual not so well adjusted, but it must be honest. Maybe it's not even travel writing. It could be anti-travel writing or simply writing about place. Listen to some episodes and see if Mirage is a good fit for your writing. If so, send a high-quality recording of a minimum of 20 minutes or writing of at least 3,000 words. It can be read deadpan as long as you believe in it.